The Lieutenant, written by Kate Grenville and read by Nicholas Bell. The men were dark and naked, their faces shadowed in the sunlight. Natives, Rook thought. I am face to face with natives. They were strange and ordinary at once. Men like himself in essence, the same shoulders and knees and private parts, although theirs were not private. A muscular, grey-bearded man stood at the head of the group, the others behind him, each holding a wooden shield and spear. They watched, densely black in the sunlight.
The trinkets, Sergeant! Where are the trinkets?
The Commodore turned back to the boat, reaching impatiently for the bag the sergeant handed him. He shook a string of beads so it caught the sun.
Come, my friends, he called. Look, I wager you have never seen this before.
Even his pinched face was creased with excitement. For the first time, Rook could see the eager boy he must have once been. Waymark went one better, made a looking-glass flash.
Look, sir, he cried. I will let you have it for your very own, if only you will come close enough to take it. By Jove, they are cautious. Barton, look at them like a cat that wants the cream but fears the milkmaid.
He laughed his tremendous laugh, and Rook thought that made the men braver. The grey-haired one took a step forward.
Yes, that's a way, Mr. Darkey. Come, come.
The surgeon did a ponderous little jig, and the man took a fresh grip on his spears. In front of his sailors, Barton could not caper the way Waymark was doing, but he had a string of beads too and was twirling it.
Rook, lad, get yourself some trinkets and try your luck, he called.
Rook picked out a looking-glass and walked a few steps towards the nearest native. A man perhaps his own age, whose eyes darted from Rook to Barton and back again, as flighty as a greyhound. Rook held up a hand. Good afternoon. It was like tossing a stone into a bush and wondering what bird would fly out. This man was well made, his chest sculpted with muscle, his bearing very straight. His chest was marked with a neat pattern of raised scars, the skin decorated like a garment. He glanced at Rook, his mouth ajar as if to speak, the whites of his eyes stark in the blackness of his skin. In one quick movement he stepped forward, took the looking glass and stepped back. He showed it to the man beside him, and they murmured over it. Then they lost interest. The man dropped the looking-glass on the sand, as casually as a boy in Portsmouth might let go the core of an apple. They all moved a few steps backwards and seemed to wait. For some better gift, some other gesture. Waymark decided the next move. Perhaps he thought of it as entertainment, of a piece with the looking-glasses and the beads. He went boldly to the eldest of the men, a wiry, grey-haired fellow, took his shield, just to borrow, he tried to explain by signs, and propped it up in the sand. He loaded his pistol, aimed from a short distance, cocked the hammer and fired. The native men jumped back from the explosion. The smoke floated away, a smell of gunpowder filled the air.